access until Bob looks over the request and says, yeah, this is a prosecutor, and go ahead and approve request, approve it. I do have a separate, for evaluations, defense attorneys can register for that, but that's all they get access to is the evaluation.
Yeah, just in answer to your question, Sam, we encourage people to use their government email. But if I get like a Google or something like that, I will email them and say, you know, it's just, I need to tell them who you are so I can put you in my system. And I've actually, I've had probably half a dozen people in the last several months that didn't qualify that we didn't approve. So we try to keep really good track of that.
Under the contacts, it's the same as before, except for one thing I don't have is on the cities list. I don't know who all the cities are. Sorry about that. If you click on a city, it just goes to there.
I'm working on that, Ron.
And what is it? I'm using an unfamiliar computer. I clicked on something I don't know what it was. So I'm not sure. Anyway, I wouldn't, it'd be fine if I get the information for other cities. What I do is rather than linking to it, put a prosecutor's name there, just put the city office and a link to their city office's webpage on that. The council page just has the link, all the people there, and a link to their county or city website as well. That's
basically. No, prosecutor.
Oh yeah, now we added the featured, we're going to do a featured prosecutor. It'll be from here on this main page. The idea is to do it once a month, right? Mm-hmm. Approximately, do that once a month. And then there'll be a archive page, so we can keep track. All the prosecutors have been featured will be on this page. You can get if you want. It's just a way of kind of recognizing prosecutors in the state and good work they do. Then UPAA has a button down here. You just go to their website. That's an important process. We're going to redo that website as well. So that's. I'm not having to use this computer at all. Sorry. I am just having no problem trying to figure out how to use it. And one other thing is that all the pages are built so that they will work on mobile devices. I put it on my iPhone, which is a really small screen, and it still shows up fine on there. It reformats itself to fit on the screen. And tablets, it works really well with, so it's still big enough to be able to get to everything. So you can use it on any device. Right now, this is just on our test website. It's not on the live one. The live one is still live with all the devices. But I'm not ready to put this through. The other thing I'm doing is we have some some applications where we can do work remotely that goes directly against our database. I'm forming them, doing a lot of things so that we can do our work wherever we are, whether we're out of town or wherever, to do this in a secure way. And it's going to be formatted to look the same too, just so we're not confused by it.
And we're also looking at creating or getting an app on your phone for at conferences. We're in the initial stages of looking at that as well. So
now there is one that we can do that's really slick, but it costs quite a bit. There's another one that's free, but I have to build it, so
free's good.
So that's where we're at.
Any questions on the webpage?
Thank you, Ron.
Do you want to talk about what were barcode scanners?
Oh yeah, for conferences, we kind of did some of it last year, where you come to the conference, you check in at the table, Marilyn just writes in that you're there, and then that's fine, you go to the conference. And then when we went to evaluations online, we thought that it's important that we make sure that you were attending the conference before you could do the evaluation. So to do that, we have to mark you as attending in the conference, and then so that means we have to go and do all that stuff, and it's all a manual process. So I came up with the solution where we just have a barcode. Everybody has an individual barcode, and we just simply scan that code in, it marks you as attended, and your evaluations are immediately available. also on the evaluations, you can just do a day at a time or one session at a time, save it, come back to it later, and continue from where you left off. So you don't have to worry about completing it all in one go. So what we're doing is when you do a registration, go to the registration page now. When you finish registering, it'll give you a confirmation that you can print out for yourself if you want to, but it'll also send it to your email. And in the email will be a link that if you click, it brings up your barcode. If you have that on your device, your mobile device or laptop or whatever, we have a scanner that will just scan that code, your check-in, so you can essentially just come to the conference, put your phone under the scanner, your check-in. Ready to go. Also, I'm going to, on our registration list, I'm going to put the barcode on our registration list, so if you don't have it yourself, we'll just check you off and scan it right from the registration list so you're ready to go. So basically, we don't have to do it. It just takes care of things automatically without us having to do it. It saves a lot of time for us on the back end, where we don't have to do that manually. It's all electronic now.
All right,
Kurt.
You mentioned the conference app, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to
case management.
Case management.
For those council members that are not aware, UAC successfully applied to CCJJ for a $500,000 grant. That their plan is to use it to purchase a case management system for the benefit of the counties. My understanding is it's either going to be JustWare or it's eProsecutor. That's what you guys, Salt Lake, has. Are you guys on JustWare or eProsecutor?
We're JustWare.
You're JustWare? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what exactly, I mean, they want to get something from JustWare, the product from JustWare. So that changes somewhat then my RFP that I'm working on. Last week it was at state purchasing for final approval. They sent it back to me with a different score sheet. That it's an Excel spreadsheet that is much better than what I had, so I made changes, and as soon as we're done here, I'm going to send it back to state purchasing, and hopefully this will be the final approval so I can get it issued here in the next week or so. But so really the benefit is going to be for cities then with this RFP, because the counties have their funding, so then this RFP is going to be for the benefit of the cities. Now, how this affects the council and county attorneys is we had Jared Eldridge, Stephen Foote, Jan, Tim Taylor, and Chris Stevens, and then you were also suggested that could be on the evaluation committee. But do you county folks really want to go through this evaluation process of these case management systems when more than likely they're not going to be in your offices? And if so, that's fine, but my feeling is we probably need to get more city people involved in the evaluation process.
I think you probably need to check with UAC, because I'm not sure where that process is going.
Okay.
Maybe the only game in town.
Oh, is that right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay.
I'm happy to yield my spot to someone from a city.
Okay.
Have more skin in the game.
It would be, yeah. No. Well, the UAC funding is also coming from CCJJ, but it's through a different grant. And they don't have to go through the RFP.
And I'm just.
Yes, I'll double check. I'll see where they're at.
We'll just hold it fast for now and see.
Okay. But the thing is, if I get the RFP issued, I'm going to put an evaluation committee together right away to start selecting dates.
Okay.
So Jan's going to give up his slot. Jared's not here. Steven's not here.
And you guys, you don't have.
We don't.
If you guys pick a different software other than JustWare, then we're going to have
an age-old
problem.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure what we're.
But that's the challenge is since the UAC grant, they don't have to do the RFP, they can select who they want. I have to do the RFP.
Doesn't the AG have a sole source capability?
I looked into that and it doesn't extend because I'm a separate purchasing agent.
Oh, no.
And they're not going with JustWare, they went with legal files.
Right, but I mean,
right.
With all due respect, they only
have files. Yeah.
1% of the cases in the case, state, something
right.
Like that. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, no, I've looked at all these issues and I have to RFP, so you're right, we may have four separate case management systems in the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can do some grants or anything like that.
I asked couldn't I just turn my grant over to UAC, my grant money, and let them do it all, and CCJJ said no.
We're from the government.
So anyway, that's where we're at in the RFP. So I'll reach out to some city folks and to see if there's some interest there. Okay. That's it.
All right. Okay, let's talk about the your surcharge.
Okay. This was brought up briefly in the SWAT board meeting, there is a 0.5% of the surcharge that is by statute designated to be used to train state and municipal prosecutors in the prosecution of domestic violence. As I mentioned again in the SWAT board meeting, I have since found out that the $15,000 pass-through that goes to CJC for their symposium, I thought it was coming out of our surcharge. It's really coming out of that age or that training surcharge that is going to the AG's office. So I have made the request that that money no longer go to CJC but come to us. But since I found out that it's not my money to say who gets it, it's now more of a request. Can we please have those funds?
So is this also connected to the $78,000?
Right. So when I've been talking $78,000, that's the total amount, but then you subtract the 15 from that, so really there's $63,000 left over.
Which has been, for the last several years, used to fund a FTE in the Attorney General's office. And by both state statute and for the purpose that it was, so are you telling me for the last 4 years or 6 years or whatever number of years, the Utah Prosecution Council has maybe collectively lost $200,000 to $300,000 of money which has not been used for its intended purpose. So I apologize, I have to go to another meeting, but I did want to stay here for this part of the discussion. That to me is troubling. And that's what you get audited for. And then we all look foolish when we get publicly audited for those kind of scenarios. So I would ask and encourage this body to reach out to the Attorney Generals to do one or two things. First of all, that money, if it is not going to be used directly for domestic violence training, and every penny of it, that needs to come to the UPC so we can use every penny of it to make that training available collectively to all prosecutors going forward. And going backwards, I think this body has a legitimate claim under the statutory allocation of the surcharge to say that money was misappropriated and misspent, and they should give it back to us. And if they're not going to do the latter part, at least we need to ensure that going forward, not another penny of it goes and is used for an FTE that is not directly related to providing the training for which that surcharge the legislature said that we have.
Here's one of their responses to that, is that yes, and we'll be looking at that. In the meantime, we think that we need to reevaluate what we're charging UPC for its, for the office space and use of the AG's office.
So that's fine. So let's analytically go through that. UPC is an entity that is created by state statute. Nobody put a gun to the AG's head to say, it is by statute also made a subset of the Attorney General's office. So if the Attorney General's office says that any subset agencies, sister agencies, they do not charge or they are actively billing, one or two things have to happen. There needs to be added to the baseline of the AG's budget so they can make the appropriate budget adjustment that goes to the legislature, because that's an ongoing operational cost that is statutorily established. To actually use that as a counter-argument to kind of extort this money from UPC, to me, is disingenuous at its best. And it is the responsibility of this board to stand up collectively and call bullshit on that. And so that's not going to be disrespectful, but you've been taking money, and well, over the years, this board has struggled to find pennies to try to find training dollars. And I find it absolutely unconscionable that we've been using, that money has been allocated out while we've been struggling and raising $5 here and $3 here, that we've been sending and spending $60,000-$70,000 cannibalizing what should be public funds for a public purpose. So I appreciate the pushback from the AG that you should pay rent. Well, if they're charging rent from everybody else who's part of their portfolio, then I'll buy into that argument. Otherwise, this is a way to sort of put up a smoke screen on their responsibilities. You know, so that's what I feel. You know, and I don't know what you guys' feelings are about this, but I would love to hear them.
You're the one, Bob. You've had the meeting with them.
So, yeah, I met twice with Spence Austin and Craig Barlow, bringing this to their attention. I wrote him a kind of lengthy letter. Again, it was when, you know, Donna's funding didn't come through and that I was exploring other options. Clearly, this is a good option with which to fund domestic violence training. My second meeting with Spence and with Craig, it was more of a review of where we're at, what's happened. They asked me to go back and see if I couldn't find additional sources of funding through the end of fiscal year 17, which we've done. I tried to get another meeting with Spence and Craig before today's meeting, but I haven't been able to get in to see them yet. So, and then as I mentioned at the SWAT board meeting, there is a new budget director. I met with her last week and also raised this issue with her. So. The AG's office is aware of it. Well, for that matter, I met with General Reyes, his chief of staff, and Spence early, it's not quite a year ago now, and let them know. So they're aware of it. It's just I don't have a firm answer as to whether or not those funds will be allocated.
I guess my question is, for 2017, when did the surcharge allocation occur?
Well, they get a monthly allocation just like I do.
Okay, well, I think we need, with all due respect, I don't think we can, knowing what we know about the history and the statutory requirement, I think it would be dereliction for us as a board not to request in no uncertain terms to say the next month allocation should not be going to the Attorney General's office until we decide that money really needs to come for training and we can actually use that money for training right now. Because we can take another 6 months or 9 months, but where's that money going to go in the interim? That money is, everybody agrees that money needs to come for a specified purpose. And that purpose is not being met. And that money is being spent outside of the scope of that specified purpose. So should there be an audit after the fact, at least this board is in a position to say the moment that we discovered it, we communicated it in uncertain terms, and we took every step that was available to us to mitigate that wrongful expenditure of that money. And that's something that we have to at least be able to assert, whether somebody else wants to agree to it or not, at least we can say our hands are clean, because the moment we discovered it, we tried to allocate it to the right source.
We talked about the last council meeting, and one of the suggestions was drafting an MOU, and so I did do that and gave a copy to Spence and Craig and sent a copy to Steve. So there is a draft out there, but again, nothing has happened on that.
They even wanted to say that Donna should be available to help them prosecute cases. So they're playing both sides of it, because as we'll talk about the salary part of it, you know, they'll say, no, that's their UPC employee, but then when it comes to this funding, they're saying, well, now we need some benefit from it. So they've been less than consistent.
Well, and the other, not to put too fine of a point on it, maybe one of the things that we, as a board, that's available to us for the purposes of just intellectual discussion is maybe UPC, by state statute, ought to have an independent standing separate from the Attorney General's office. So there is a clear demarcation of assets and resources that are going to this particular body for a very specific, a specified purpose. So there aren't any confusions about who belongs to who and this double dipping of resources that are occurring between two very distinct functions within the agency and with two different sources of revenue that come into to fund them. And the mission objective of UPC is uniquely its own, and it can't stand on its own. And with all due respect, it's been treated like it's sort of an orphan child here for far too long. And we need to, our needs are great, our demands collectively as a state are tremendous, and we should be making, we can justify this. This is not something we're dreaming up, this is something that is justifiable. So either you're gonna have the support and a very diligent execution of that responsibility, or if you're not capable of doing it, I absolutely think UPC has the capacity to stand alone, and it's a small legislative fix to do it, but that is something we should say should be put on the table for a realistic conversation, so we don't have these kind of issues percolating over and over again. These are decisions that should have taken, these are one meeting decisions. These are not things that should be extended for 6 months or 9 months while we're trying to figure out how to backfill resources for them to be able to operate.
And I think historically there's never been these type of issues under prior administrations, and this is just, now it's bubbled to the surface.
So
just as a point of clarification, the reason we put UPC under, when we drafted the UPC business, we put it under the Attorney General's office so that we wouldn't have any revenue sharing issue. It had to be part of state government, so. We had to have a parent agency, and that's how it came to be achieved. Just so we understand, it's got to be somewhere in state government.
But couldn't, if there is a legislative, this is a product of a legislative creation, the legislation can also allocate out the funding source separate and independent. That's within its capacity, and I think we can certainly demonstrate over the multiple years the core critical service that this institution has served, and will continue to serve into the future. That money is being, we're not saying that this body is going to have its own taxing authority or anything. It is coming from pre-existing allocated resources by state statute, and the stream is just going to do, this account is just going to go into this account. And you have the same objective auditing and allocation issues that we have. We go to the on a legislative budget, like everybody else, it's a line item thing, and that's the money that comes from the service that it's to us.
Yeah, just as long as it remains a state agency.
Yeah, it's by state authority, it's a state agency.
Post.
CCJJ. Make more sense under AJ.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It could be just as easy as you said, post. Yeah.
So that's a discussion.
Well, once you make a decision on that position, Sam, would you let us know?
Sorry about that, folks. But,
So you have nothing currently scheduled meeting with them again?
No.
What does the MOU do?
Well, what the MOU was designed, I should have brought a copy, I apologize. I didn't want to burden everybody with a lot of documentation, but it was stating the purpose of the statute that this money shall be used for the training of county and city prosecutors in domestic violence. Currently, the AG's office doesn't have someone that is providing that training. Utah Prosecution Council does. And so essentially it would make sense for the money to pass through the AG's office to UPC so that we could pay for that training. If and when the AG's office ever assumes that responsibility for the training, the money would go back to them. That it would be paid to us within 10 days after the surcharge is distributed each month. We'd provide an accounting at any time. So the nuts and bolts of that, just the essentials. And I'd be happy to provide a copy to anybody that would like to look at that.
Well, we provided that with them. It's been months ago.
In October.
Yeah.
And so we'd probably just need to follow up with it.
My second meeting, I asked them about it and provided copies again. And when I met with Kimberly Schmeling as the new budget director, I had a copy for her and she said that she had seen it. So my assumption from that is that it is being discussed at the executive level in the AG's office. I'm just not aware of what those discussions are or where it's going.
I mean, do we have any ability to force some kind of decision from them? Other than severing our relationship?
No, I don't. And, you know, yeah. I don't know about the council.
Right. Any direction from the council on that?
I agree with Sam. When the state auditor decides to take a look at us or any of our accounts, we've seen that they're going much deeper than previous state auditors. And that's part of my frustration, is we're always robbing Peter to pay Donna, or maybe going to do away with the civil conference to pay Donna. It's really nothing about Donna. It's just, it would be nice to have a budget that says, here's Donna. Mm-hmm. That's my frustration, is I feel like we're stealing money from other, that was earmarked for other things. But I agree with Sam that Dougal and his folks would have a heyday with this, and I think we'd be smart to be on record that we've at least asked to try and rectify it.
And we have, right?
Yes.
To this point.
Mm-hmm. The board has,
I think. No, the council itself has not.
Okay.
What do you mean the council has?
Well, no, I mean, what you're saying is, as opposed to me going in as the director, are you saying that the chair of UPC go to the AG's office? If that's what you're asking, no, that hasn't taken place. No,
but the action you've taken has been in the direction of the council.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the letter that I wrote was, I'm writing at the behest of the council.
So do we put this on a future agenda for our next meeting, or does it need to be acted on now? And we?
Well, I mean, that's you're looking for direction from the council. I mean,
we've got the we may be too late for this legislative session. We're way late to this one. So, do we give Bob some direction on to resurface the MOU, or
address the idea with them that Sim brought up? Maybe that's too extreme. I don't know. Severing our.
Well, you'd have to do it legislatively.
Yeah,
that right. But the idea that if we can't work out something amicable, then that's the only other option that we are going to have. Or is that even a legitimate option?
I don't know that the AG's office would mind necessarily that we were out under their umbrella.
Is that beneficial to us? I mean,
No. Oh, no. And I'm not saying that they're actively trying to get us out. I think. Yeah. I mean, it's just, if we were not there, then we take up five less office spaces, and you know, their admin stuff doesn't have to handle our admin and stuff. So I don't know that it's any skin off their nose. You know, I'm not at this point advocating that, because I think, I don't know, if I were a separate state agency, do I have to then go up to the legislature and
they probably would not create a separate agency. They'd put you under somebody.
Yeah. I mean, if that were the case, then I would suggest being placed somewhere where I don't work for a member of the council, because that's been a fine line to draw, is trying to, you know, maintain a good relationship with the Attorney General's office, and you know, and yet they're on the council. And so sometimes I felt like I'm being asked to take a position that's a council's position that may be contrary to the AG's position, and then, you know, I'm housed with the AG where we are. Tyson, Don, and I are all designated special prosecutors for the AG, so, you know, I'm trying to walk the fine line here. And so if that's where we go, you know, CCJJ or something that doesn't have, you know, that's not sitting on the council, or some other state agency that doesn't have a council membership, might make more sense than, you know, say POST. Although, you know, POST, we have that obvious working relationship, so.
Especially when it comes to training.
Right. So, I don't know. Now's not the time to decide that answer, but those are just some issues.
Definitely something we need to be thinking about. Okay. Well, I mean, I think just as a council, would direct you to try to sit down with him again.
Okay. I'll just follow up an email. I know he's busy, and so I will do that.
The chair would love to join you, but my relationship with him isn't all that wonderful either.
So. All right.
Well, then you're the guy. Nothing to lose there.
Don't disparage anybody else, right? Okay. All right. Move on to the next item here.
Okay. Item number 10 on the agenda, on page 7 of the director's summary. I'm not going to go through all of that. I'm just going to jump right down to paragraph D of that, unless somebody has questions. I realize that Russell didn't have the benefit. Didn't know that you were going to be here, so you have not had the benefit for the history, so it's there. Haley, you may have had a chance to look at it, but Mr. Berkovich